Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And today I'm so thrilled to bring you another powerful episode. In this soul-stirring episode, we delve deep into transformative journey of healing from trauma and finding profound inner peace. It's not easy to endure traumatic experience, and it often feels like an uphill struggle as emotions of helplessness and dread continues to haunt our mind. Even though a traumatic event or incident may have concluded or may have finished, but the trauma can linger on in our mind and it leads to some physical symptom. And these physical symptoms, we may have, even the trauma has passed, but we continue to face these symptoms throughout our life unless we make some resolution or we resolve these trauma, past traumas, and move on in our life. That's why our guest today is Audrey Laura White. She's not only an expert in grief coaching, but she has gone through personal event through challenging events in the life, and she faced devastating loss of almost 8 family members, including her mother, in 2022. And then when she was even going through this trauma in 2022, her brother's life was taken away by his own wife, who subsequently ended her own life too. These deeply personal experiences have carved a profound well of empathy within Audrey for those wrestling with loss of adversity and grief. She is now the CEO of Grief Coach, and she has co-authored a book, Grief Coaching, which is about to be published in like a couple of months. So let's welcome Audrey. Hello, Audrey. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Amberin. I'm so excited to be here and have this conversation with you.
Likewise. And thanks to all our audience who are joining from different parts of the world. So please keep your comments coming in and tell us that where are you logging in from. And if you have any question, just ask the question. We will actually answer the question in between our discussion. So keep the comments coming in and we'll enjoy your comments and we'll keep reading your comments and we'll keep posting your comments on our screen. So now coming back to Audrey, I gave a very little bit, very brief introduction of you, but I would want you to actually tell our audience that about your life and how you get into this grief coaching. So tell our audience about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. I grew up, I'll go back a little ways first. Grew up in a really small town, and I was the youngest of 3 children. My dad struggled with alcohol abuse and use, and my mother was kind of this classic codependent. And so I grew up in that environment of people pleasing, of not a family that didn't really want to talk about what was going on. It was easier to deny things and to keep things, you know, kind of behind closed doors. But even behind closed doors, we didn't talk about what was really going on in the family. So there was a lot of, you know, trauma with this. And so growing up in that environment, wanting to talk about the hard things, but not really having an opportunity, I always felt like I was on the outside of the family. And it really wasn't until my father's passing in 2005, when I realized, like, this is why I'm here, you know, because when my father was dying, and the doctor finally told us that, that there wasn't anything more they could do, my mother just dropped, you know, as her husband of 50 some years. And I knelt down beside her and I said, Mom, we know how to do this. Death is just birth. And we know, especially as women, we know how to do birth. And so we held vigil and we, you know, sang and prayed and and just held that sacred space while he was passing. And the next morning, my oldest brother got there. And my mom needed him, you know, as the oldest, as her son, to really be a part of this. And as he was passing, I went over to the side of his bed and I just put my hand on his heart and my hand on his head. And that's when I knew, like, this is why I'm in this family, because I know how to do this. I know how to hold space. I know how to allow this transition, which I felt was a transition from this, this energy level and matter to whatever's next. And so that was the first time I really felt like I really wanted to move into talking about death and dying and talking about grief. But I didn't know how to get there. At that time I was in my 30s, my kids were young, I was raising them, living in California in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. I was so busy just living life and surviving here and thriving. And that it wasn't until later, in 2019, when I met Aurora Winter for the first time. And she is the founder of the Grief Coach Academy. And as soon as I met her, I was just drawn to it and knew that this was a path I wanted to go on. And I was healing from some past relationships that were quite damaging. And I was healing myself from, you know, losing that sense of myself, my belief in myself, feelings of not being worthy, of not trying to understand what I had just lived through, which was a lot of lies, a lot of deceit. So I was doing a lot of self-healing. And going through the process of the Grief Coach Academy, it helped me heal myself. And it was also preparing me for what was to come. As you said, in 2020, right at the start of the pandemic, I lost 8 family members within a year. And it was just this consecutive loss. It was a cousin and my uncle and my cousin's wife, who I truly believe died of a broken heart, and on and on. In fall of that year, I lost one of my aunts. And 13 days later, my mother passed. And today is actually the 3rd anniversary of her passing. So I'm honored to be speaking of her right now.
Yeah.
And we actually had an amazing death with my mother. It was very clear she had lost the ability to swallow. She could no longer take in food or any kind of water, anything. And when we knew what was going on, I sat with her and I said, "Mom, you know, you haven't had food in a number of days. You can't drink any water right now. We really only have a few days left together. Are you ready to die?" And she said, "Yes." So
that's
going through this process and learning what I have, one, it allowed me to not be afraid of death, but to just accept, and also to acknowledge it with her. And it, because I could hold that space for her, it gave her permission to embrace her own process of this without denying that it was happening or, you know, doing everything we can to continue living. She knew that my brother and I were there to support her and love her. And we had, I think, 3 days of talking and laughing and sharing stories that was, we wouldn't have been able to do that had we not been able to embrace and accept what it is.
I mean, that's amazing. And I mean, today, since you said that it's the 3rd anniversary, so it's an amazing way to honor her, you know, passing from this world to another. And as you mentioned that, you know, it's just a process, I would say,
yeah,
of a transition from one form to another. And yes, and I think that's a great way to look at it, because I feel that most of the people, what they do is they are stuck in this mm-hmm. world, or in this, I would say that in this state only, that, you know, that this is it. Oh, but what they need to understand that there is an other life over there, yes, as well. And it's a great way to actually accept it. And as you mentioned, mm-hmm. it is a brilliant way to actually enjoy these last 3 days instead of mourning or instead of worrying, you know, that creates more trauma. So it's I really love the idea about it. So I would also want to ask you that, you know, what is the main obstacle of people realizing the difference between, like, let's say, the grief and trauma and the healing process? Because, mm-hmm. You know, most of the time what happens, you know, we were even discussing before that, the people are stuck in that phase also, yeah, with the loved one. They're unable to pass on. They're unable to move on to another level. So what are the main obstacles actually holding them to that state and preventing them from healing?
Yeah, I thank you for that question. I think one of the things that a lot of us get stuck in is the belief that they're gone, you know, and I believe, and it's my belief, is that we're energy and vibration. We're all a part of all that is. And, you know, from, you know, physics, we know, like, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Yeah. We're just in this form, and we're so used to seeing people in our physical lives that when they do transition, we forget, and we keep looking for them where they were and not where they are. And that love and that energy and that who they are as an essence lives on in every cell of our being. And we can tap into that. We just have to realize that we have to look for them where they are now and not where they were and where we were used to seeing them. Yeah. I also really believe that, you know, and we were talking about it earlier, that we have the event that happens, right? And that can be painful.
Yeah.
But the trauma that we go through is really through what we relive in our minds, and the suffering is what we create in our minds. So it's this belief of, you know, they shouldn't have had to die, or I never got to say goodbye, or there's so many things that we keep reliving in our head that recreates that trauma over and over, and that feeling of loss over and over. And through the Grief Coach Academy, we work with our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And our belief is simply thoughts we continue to think.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own belief about just about anything in the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's right or wrong or good or bad or true or false. It's just a belief. It's a thought we continue to think. But when we can acknowledge that thought and really work with it to express all of our feelings around it instead of repress them, there's a freedom that comes about, and we can accept it, and we can, you know, look at other things that might be true. Because if we're only holding on to one thought, there's no opening to hold on to maybe there's something else that's more true that feels good. And I just couldn't see it because I was so focused on this one thing. And at this point, it really opens up a little bit of freedom. So we really work at one belief at a time. What is the most painful thought you're going through? And it really does create, it lets in a little bit of light and a little bit of hope that we can release that brick and that thought. And then we take another one. And this is a process that we go through coaching, but it's also a process that you can do on your own through journaling.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very powerful way to actually overcome grief. And as I was just like, we were discussing before the show that a lot of people are stuck because they think that they are honoring their disease, that, you know, by not letting them go in the, from their thoughts or this thing. But that is one thing, as you described it so beautifully, that, you know, it's like we are just a form of energy, I would say. Like we are the energy beings. It's just the matter of being transitioned from one state to another. And as you mentioned, that we're so accustomed of seeing each other like in a physical way, we are just unable to accept that, you know, they could be in another form as well. You know, it's just that they are here. If you just feel it, I mean, they could be just here with you.
Yeah.
And you can just feel it. You just need to feel it. And that way you can honor them in a much better way, rather than just crying and whining and, you know, just having that phase of grief, which actually kills you from inside.
Yeah.
So that's one way of moving on to other. And as you mentioned, that we need to focus on one thought and another, like, you know, one belief to another. We need to focus on some aspect of life which can give us more happiness. And
absolutely.
And yeah. So, you know, I would also like want to ask you that, you know, since you mentioned that even with your mother, you were able to accept the fact that, you know, she has very little time and you need to savor those time to be cherished later. And that's what exactly you're doing. So how to actually have that kind of mindset?
It's a lot of work, you know, and it's very, you know, it's challenging work because it's challenging your belief system. So I think being open to not always being right, you know, that I can learn even through this. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned my brother, and my brother was murdered in 2022. There's not anything that can prepare you for that and prepare you for that call. And then it's this re-traumatization over and over, because I'm telling my children, I have to call my daughter in the middle of the night and tell her what happened to her uncle. I'm on the phone with the, you know, the law enforcement officers and talking to lawyers. And it was just, it was a lot to go through. And yes, she had a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And this was also premeditated and planned. Mm-hmm. And so trying to accept all of this, one of the things that I knew from the beginning is my brother didn't live near me. He lived in Kansas. I live in California, in the US. And I was, after this happened, I was flying into that community. And here was a community that, one, didn't understand what had happened. They were going to be grieving. They knew both my brother and sister-in-law. And I knew that if I held on to that anger and blame, that it was only going to hurt me. And I wasn't going to be able to move through and help anybody else as well. And what I believe is that when we hold on to that negative thought about someone else, that sword, that energy doesn't fall on them. It falls back on us. And I really consciously believed that I had already lost my brother. I wasn't going to give up my life because she took my brother's life. And so it's being very conscious and mindful of how we live our lives. And we can't change the events that happen. So much of things are so out of our control. But what we can control is, How can good come of this? And for me, it was looking at how my brother lived his life. And vows and duty and honor and integrity were so core to who he was. He never spoke ill of her. Mm-hmm. He knew that she had a mental illness from the day he married her. He chose to continue to stay. And one of the things he, this all happened a few days before her birthday. And when I was going through their house, I found the birthday card that he had written to her. And it said, "I still see you. Every time I look at you, I see the woman I fell in love with." If he can still say that through an abusive relationship, through a lot of the daily trauma, then how can I hold on to that? It doesn't honor him and his memory and his life for me to hold on to anger or blame. Mm-hmm. And so really looking at, you know, and I don't know that I could have done this work without the foundation that I found within the Grief Coach Academy and also the personal healing of, you know, therapy and my faith to carry me through this time. So it's so important for people to lean on each other and not to isolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you just said so beautifully that, you know, it's like holding on to anger actually just have more detrimental effect on us rather than on anyone else. It's basically what happens is, like, most of the time when I see, like, people gone through trauma or some kind of the event, or especially when they actually go through such event, they become their own critiques as well, you know. It's time that they need to forgive the other person and they need to forgive themselves, because what happens is that, as you mentioned, that your brother was in another city and you could not do this, or you could not even go there previously or like earlier. So the thing is that things happen. We cannot control. We cannot control how people react to it. The only thing we can control is how we react towards the event and how we can have thoughts in our heads. That's it. And I often say that the only thing that we have in our control is our thoughts. That's it. Nothing else in this world we can control. The only thing, like, the way we think about ourselves, about others, and that's what we need to intentionally choose the thoughts that can bring us mental peace. So the best way is to actually forgive others for their wrongs and forgive yourself, because if you are unable to do anything, that wasn't your fault, right?
Sometimes
you need to learn from it. Okay, they could be mistakes. You need to learn from it and then move on. That's one thing. And one thing you said, which is very, very important, that we need to find people to lean on. We need to find, we should never, ever be able to afraid to seek help, especially when we are unable to go through the grief, because these kind of thing, people say that it is a part of life and everybody goes through grief and time takes it, you know, time is the big healer. But for some people, time doesn't heal. So they need a professional help. They need someone. If not a professional help, you can actually go and speak with your friend and try to find some ways which can actually help you overcome that grief. So now coming to next point, that you must have, like, you know, offer help to a lot of people, especially because you are a grief coach, so a lot of people must have come to you with some kind of trauma. So what are the main, I would say, problems or the troubles or the points where they are stuck, which they find unable to move on? What are the main areas? What are the main difficult areas which they think, which they are unable to cope?
Everybody's grief is different, and it all takes a very individual journey. You talked about it just, you know, people say this all the time. It just takes time.
Yeah.
It does take time, but it also takes intention, and it takes practical tools and skills to help us move from that source of pain that we keep reliving in our mind and our thoughts to a point of seeking peace. And I think first you have to believe that you are actually worthy of feeling good in this world, feeling good in this body, that you deserve peace and happiness in your life.
Yeah.
And those things, sometimes those roots are so deep in us that that's the work that needs to be done, of really believing that we're worthy. And then it's always that, how much is this costing me? To when you really look at being stuck in grief, how much is it costing in terms of your own personal life, your physical health, your relationships with your other loved ones and family and friends and community? A lot of people can shrink back and not continue reaching out. They will go into their cave and not come out. And there's a cost for that. There's a cost to our community and our society by having that person missing. And for that person, they're missing out on their life, and their relationships can suffer. And so by addressing this and really realizing that, one, we're all in this together, we feel it, the details of our life might look different, but what we're doing is really healing ourselves. And through healing ourselves, we heal each other, we heal our families, we heal our communities, and we heal generational trauma by really looking and facing things head on instead of denying things that are happening.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's very true that, you know, we need to look at the things in a different way. We need to, first of all, as you said, that we need to believe that we are worthy of mental peace. We are worthy of living life that we wish to be. So that's one thing very important. And what I've seen is that people usually think that when someone has, I mean, when they lose their loved one, they think that their life is also over, but they don't realize that it's just one chapter in their life that is over. There are many other chapters which are there in their life and which can bring happiness.
Absolutely.
Because one thing that they need to look at this, like if that person was alive, would they be even happy to see them in that situation? So they need to say that, like, you know, they're still there. It's, as we mentioned, as we discussed earlier, that, you know, it's just the different form of, you know, energy.
Yeah.
So they're there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, you brought up this point of, you were not just grieving the person. We're grieving the dreams that we had with them, the future that we had with them. We're grieving the everyday conversations. We're grieving who we are or who we were when that person was here, because every person brings out another aspect of us. And so realizing that and acknowledging it and giving space and time and intention to it instead of pushing it away. Like, yes, I'm going to be grieving what I thought was going to be my future with this person.
Yeah.
And by acknowledging that and really fully expressing our emotions around it, getting it out rather than holding it in is so important.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, there's also these times when people think that there's a time limit on grief, you know, and it's like, well, it's been a few months or it's been a year. And, you know, why is it hard for you to come to a wedding? Why is it hard for you to come to this event? Allow that person time and space. And I think that's the other thing that people who are around that person can do to support is actively ask them, how are you doing? And bring up the person that they're missing, because it's alive in them every single day. And to have it acknowledged by someone outside of you, like, you know, I remember when your husband did this, or I remember when your wife did this, or this is so important in my life and how they changed my life. It brings an acknowledgement that this person is still a part of their life and is still a part of who they love and who has taught them to become who they are in this world, you know? It's so important to have that support.
Yeah, absolutely. Support system is really, really important. So I would just, I know that we can talk about it, and this is a very important topic, and people actually are very interested to find out that how to actually overcome that grief. However, time is limited and, you know, time is running out.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, yeah. I just want to talk about your book, that it's going to be out soon. Why you've written it, and what is the main message you want to give from that book to your reader?
So, I have this book coming out soon. It's Grief Coaching, Paving a Path from Pain to Peace, and it's co-written with my friend and mentor and heart and soul sister Aurora Winter, and it really goes through how we work with people in the Grief Coach Academy, gives specific examples of working with people, what their challenges are, and the process that different processes that we use. And also it's to give hope, because when we have a piece, when we can identify with someone that, oh, that's really similar to what I've gone through, and look at how much that changed them, then it gives us a sense of hope that we can do that too.
Yeah.
And yes, lean on your friends and lean on your family and lean on your spiritual community, and also reach out to get help. You know, there's professionals here that we want to embrace you and believe that you can go through this journey, and we will walk with you through this journey of grief.
Yeah, that's great. That's actually really, you actually summed up very well. But before I actually close the show, I would ask you to give one piece of advice that you would give to our audience today to overcome grief.
So for me, I think it's being open to the possibility that peace and joy exist in the present moment. And when we can let go, acknowledge the past and acknowledge the pain in our lives, to go, yes, that happened. It's changed who I am in the world, but my life is moving forward. And we're always moving forward with life. It doesn't stop. You feel like it should when you've lost, you know, someone you love. Yeah. But this is life, you know, losing who we love and losing what we love is part of life. How do we incorporate that and find that strength to move forward? And that's that joy of being present. It's so important to be present, feel what we feel, acknowledge it, and then move through.
Yeah, amazing. That's actually that one thing. If people realize that, you know, they have the life, and they need to move on. I think that is one thing that can help them keep going and overcome the grief. So thank you so much for such a powerful discussion and the powerful talk that you gave today. I'm sure our audience have learned a lot from you, and you. I'm sure they had a positive impact on themselves when they listened to you, that how to overcome sadness, grief, trauma in their life, and because they have better life ahead, which they need to be looking forward instead of looking back what they have lost. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much. It was a great honor to have you with us.
Absolutely.
And what is the right way when if someone wants to reach out to you, what is the best way to reach out to you?
You can find me on my website, which is coachacademy.com,
okay.
or at AudreyLauraWhite.com. Either way, you can reach me. Okay. There you'll be able to download some videos about the Grief Coach Academy and about our processes. Mm-hmm. You can book a call with me. We can hop on a Zoom call together. Most Wednesday nights, I'm available, or Wednesday nights US time, probably pretty early for you. We can jump on a call and talk about where you're at and how we can help you.
Okay, that's great. And actually, I've already shared the link of your website on my comments. And when we, of course, when I'll actually upload this this podcast on my podcast channel, I will also share the link to your website and your social media accounts. So people who need to reach out to you, they can directly message you for your help and everything. So thank you so much, and thanks a lot to all the audience who joined us from across the world, who shared their comments, and who and even if they are listening to it in the recording. So thank you so much for listening to it.
So thank you so much.
And it's have a great, pleasure. Great day, evening, and from wherever you are, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.